Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
The text is for this evening is Psalm 80, our first reading. Specifically, this verse, "Restore us, O God of hosts, let your face shine that we may be saved." You see, this psalm, it's a prayer. It's a prayer of God's people who have been routed. It's interesting because just Wednesday night we were studying in Wednesday at Bible class in 2 Kings chapter 17, the events that led up to the writing of this psalm. And so it's like it perfectly timed. It's kind of funny. But you see, Israel had fallen into apostasy. They had worshipped other gods, false gods. They built altars of false gods. They even brought an altar into a pagan god, into the temple. They even started sacrificing their children. And God allowed the Assyrians, after their king decided no longer to pay tribute to the Assyrians to keep them from raiding, they decided to try to pay the Egyptians. And the Egyptians said, "Oh, sure, we'll take your money," and then didn't show up to help. And the Assyrians routed them. And these are the refugees who have made their way up to the northern kingdom. They fled to go to Jerusalem. When the Assyrian army, did I say that right? The people from the northern kingdom fled to Jerusalem in the southern kingdom. I knew I had that backwards. When the Assyrian army took the north, took their homes, gone, their place of worship, all those pagan altars, gone. Their government, gone. How frustrating it is, though, you see, when all those things that we feared, loved, and trusted in instead of God are gone. All those false things, those false gods that we make of our own are gone. What do you do? Well, a remnant ran to Jerusalem and they were praying to God. They confessed that they had been distracted from their heavenly King. They had gone after all the other things but God. And they ran in their despair. They did the only thing you can do when all the structures, all the stable things you rely on are disintegrating around you like quicksand. And they prayed this psalm. They wept this psalm. As they wrote this psalm, as they were mourning the sorrow of all that they had lost. "Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved." It's a prayer, a plea. Come, Lord, act. Do something about this. We beg you, O God. There's nothing we can do. We need you to save us. Please come, restore us. Your judgment has reminded us to look to you as we failed once again. It's the frustrating part. The history of the faith is a constant cycle of God's provision. Mankind taking it for granted. Mankind then rejecting God. God allowing sin to have its way with mankind. Followed by ruin due to sin running amok. Then mankind reaching the point of desperation, and those who still have faith calling all to repent. The Spirit giving faith and produces then repentance in some, and it seems the repeat until the Lord returns. Lord, how I despise this cycle. Psalm 80 is an appeal to the king, and not merely to some earthly king sitting on his golden throne, but heaven's king, the king of the universe. Yet right there in the midst in the temple, sitting between the cherubim and the ark, calmly perched upon the most powerful angels, yet worshipped by them, that king is the one they're asking now. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel. Remember, you're our shepherd. Hear us. Listen to our cry for our plea for mercy. No, 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 we understand we don't deserve it. We took you for granted. We despised your good gifts. We didn't listen to you nor your prophets that you sent. Nevertheless, hear us, because we are yours and who you are. Because of your promises, remember, you are that kind of king, a merciful king, a sparing king, a forgiving king. Hear our cry, O Lord. Don't forget, Lord, you're the only reason we are a people. You made us. You brought us up out of Egypt like a choice vine and planted us in this land. We are your creation, your vineyard, but we failed you. We despised your gracious gifts and your wise ways. We treated them lightly, ignored them, were distracted from them. We wanted other things instead of them, coveted what our neighbors have. And now we know we deserve nothing. We're lost. But you saved us before, Lord. Save us again. Restore us, your chosen people. God's people called on their king to act, to save them. But nothing could have prepared them for the way their king would come and to save them. They didn't realize what it would take for him to answer their cry, and that he would willingly do so, that he loved them just that much. But he did. You see, this king sent his son, his only begotten son, to his vineyard. The only begotten came to his own, and his own did not receive him. Sure, they prayed, "Restore us." They shouted, "Hosanna." All of this to him. But even in salvation, they wanted something, well, different from what God would give them. It's like Peter rebuking Jesus when he's saying, "I am going to the cross." No, no, not that way. We don't want that way. Just get rid of our enemies. Where's the kingdom? Aren't you a king? So that since they didn't get what they wanted, they just yelled, "Crucify him." The king was cut off, thrown out of the city. This root of Jesse, this righteous branch of David, was cut from the vineyard and finally given his crown, a crown of thorns that was covered with all our guilt. He was given his throne, not the tops of the cherubim, but the depths of our death, our curse, our very cross. And yet we can still cry out, "Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved." The Father's face shines on us because it stopped shining on his Son. The Father's face shines on us because our King took his throne and crown into the darkness of death. The Father's face shines on us because our King comes for you and for me. Jesus' death in darkness is God's face shining on us. Let your face shine on us, that we may be saved. And I know what you're thinking. It may be well and good for him to have done that then, but I'm here now in West Bend, Wisconsin. I'm mourning underneath my own sorrow's load, my own problems, my own struggles. I need salvation now. I need restoration now. I need him to come and say now. Especially when we mourn and know the depths of our own sins. Restore us, O God. Restore us. We have called on our King. We have called on him to act, to save us. But nothing could prepare us for the way that our King would come to do so. It's hard to imagine this King of righteousness wanting to enter into my guilty heart and your guilty heart to take a seat upon our dark throne. It's far too contaminated, far too unworthy. Yet right now, today, in your hearing, he comes to you. It's as if God is saying, "Beloved, I am not afraid of your guilt. I am the King of your guilt. Crowned with your guilt, enthroned upon the wood you deserve. Your guilt is mine. My innocence is yours. What you deserve, I take, and what I deserve, I give to you. You cry out, 'Restore us.' Here I am." Even as he cried out on our behalf from the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Beloved, I come to restore you. Not to burden, but relieve. Not to crush, but to lift. To take away your guilt. Make it my own. Unite myself to it. Become it. Bury it. And rise again without it. Never to be remembered again. I am your King. How wholly unworthy am I to stand here in his pulpit, the pulpit of this King, and for you to sit there in his house, in the house, the court of this King. We aren't worthy, but that's the kind of King we have. Isn't it? A King in control, not by force, but by grace. Not by might, but by forgiveness, by mercy, by love. He's our righteousness, our innocence, our blessedness, and our eternal holiness. This whole Advent season, our whole life, this evening right now, he's been preparing our hearts and minds for his coming once again. For there is only one way to prepare for the Lord, through God-given faith. Repent, give him your guilt, and receive his grace. Your sins and mine are forgiven as our King comes to save us. That is the kind of King he is. So lift up your heads. Our redemption most definitely draws near. Our King of guilt has heard and answered our prayers. This psalm can be our prayer. It can be your prayer and mine. Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved. And it most certainly does. And we most certainly are. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen.